Theodore, startled. "Ah, it is you, Samuel. Did I call you?"
He closed his eyes, blew out his cheeks, and gave me a huge beam.
"Oh, my friend, we have talked long and drunk well, have we not? And indeed it is time to part, if not to sleep. Is my queen awake?"
Samuel hesitated.
"The royal lady Taru Wok is on Magdala Getau, with your son, Alameo. But Meshisha is here, and maybe—"
"I asked for my queen, my new queen,"
bawls Theodore, suddenly enraged.
"Not my bastards. Summon her, my lady to Magno, that I may present her to my friend, my guest, you say. Go!"
Samuel vanished, and Theodore calmed down enough to refill our cups.
"Tamagno is to be my queen," says he. "Alameo, who is my true son and heir, you shall meet tomorrow. I wish to have him educated at a great English school, such as one I have heard of. Harrow."
"Harrow? Certainly not, Your Majesty. Lair of bestial, parvenus, Rugby's the place for your lad. And Meshisha, did you say?"
"Meshisha is a byblow, gotten in an evil hour," says he. "A bastard, an idle great fool. But one must employ one's children. The false get as well as the true. Ah, but here is my true queen that shall be. To Magno, this is my friend, the Ras Flashman, who brings us comfort from the army of the White Queen Victoria. Wherefore we do him honour."
He waved a hand wildly in introduction, and the lady and I appraised each other as she rolled in, with Samuel holding the door obsequiously. My first thought was, why the devil was Theodore even looking at her when he had beauties like Miriam to play with? Madame Tamagno was fat, coarse, and looked what she was, a whore. For while Theodore might talk of making her a queen, in fact she was only his chief concubine. Unlike most Ab women, she painted, and while they tend to conceal their passionate appetites behind demure appearance, this one wore her lust on her sleeve, or rather in her lecherous expression. Someone, I forget who, described her as the most lascivious-looking female he'd ever seen, and recalling the hungry leer with which she surveyed me, I can't contradict him. She was dressed to match in the gaudiest silks with a profusion of bangles and necklaces, all tarted up for work, as her first words showed, for when Theodore reached up to fondle her fat paw and slaver it with a drunken kiss, and she'd stripped me in imagination and torn her eyes away, she reproved him playfully for neglecting her while he rioted with foreign prisoners in the cooler.
"And I left lonely," she murmurs.
"No prisoner, but a guest," cries he, and staggered to his feet with his trollop and Samuel assisting. But then he seemed to forget about me altogether, for he embraced her with mawkish endearments, pawing and nuzzling, and I dare say would have set about her on the spot if she hadn't guided him out, bestowing one last wanton smile on me as she went. I was glad to watch her go, for she was 17 stone of dangerous desire if ever I've seen it. The sort who don't care about driving her lover crazy by the way she licks her chops over every new fellow she meets. I'd trouble enough just then without a jealous Theodore running amok. He was like a mine primed to explode, and no way to anticipate him. For consider. In short order, he tried to brain me, had me loaded with chains, only to bring me booze and jollity like a boon companion, quoted scripture like a Scotch elder, raved at me as a spy and conspirator, threatened me with mutilation, babbled nonsense and burst into tears, tried to pump me for military intelligence, wondered about having me tortured, sworn eternal friendship, collapsed in a drunken stupor, and introduced me to his black gallop. Eccentric, eh? I just hope to God that Napier might get here in time. You've probably never worn chains, and may be interested to know that they can be a sight easier to put on than to take off. The ab variety consists of massive links between anklets which are secured with soft iron rivets. Once hammered shut, they have to be pried open with a wedge, which likewise has to be hammered with a sledge. And damned unnerving it is to have a grinning blackamoor swinging it down full force, jarring the anklet open, and if he misses his aim, he'll never set that foot on the ground again. Then they slip a leather rope into the anklet, and half a dozen strong men pull it over.